One of the races that we've been taking a look at, the race for District 83 in the Republican primary, and is joining me in studio, the challenger in this race, Steve Massengill. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Chad. Glad to be here.
Well, glad you could come in today. Appreciate your time. And, of course, encourage people they can check out your website, Steve4Texas.com. Let's talk about your campaign. You were here about, what, a month and a half ago. And I know it's you've been doing a lot of campaigning since then. Talk about some of the issues that have been brought up. One of those, I'm sure that you've talked about, you've heard about, illegal immigration. One of the big issues that that affect all Texans, even though we're away from the border, still has an impact here in Lubbock. What do you think the state of Texas should do, the legislature should do, to shore up the border and to reduce illegal immigration?
Well, you're right. Illegal immigration is a hot topic, and you don't hear folks talk about it so much in Lubbock, but what you get down in the southern counties of District 83, it is it's very important to those folks. You know, people associate drug crime and human trafficking and things with lack of control on the border.
Right.
I think we have to first recognize that the feds have failed. It's a federal issue, and those guys have failed. Of course, they fail at most everything we rely on them for right now. So, you know, I'm against illegal immigration. I think we need to secure the borders. I think that those people who want to come over and follow the legal process, that I think we ought to welcome them, and because we need laborers, we need people to work. But if they don't want to be compliant and they're just over here for a job to go back and they don't want to follow the process, then we're not interested in having them here.
If you were elected into the state legislature, would you vote for a type of guest worker program? That's something that, you know, that is being debated right now, something that the Republican Party has had a huge debate on, even here in the state of Texas. You know, would you vote for more funding to go to the border? You brought it that it's a federal issue. At the same time, though, there are many folks who say state of Texas has got to do something about it if the feds aren't going to.
Yeah, I agree. I think the state does. On the guest worker program, I would welcome people that, again, want to follow the process. I'd have to look at what the proposal is for that. I mean,
sure.
In my mind, it has to be pretty rigid. At the same time, we have to understand that our economy has benefited from folks that want to come over and be legal and work in our economy. I mean, I think about construction trades and those type of industries that really rely on labor, and some of that labor is not always plentiful. So I would have to make sure it's rigid enough for me to support it before I said yes, but I think there are some possibilities there.
Visiting with Steve Massengill, you can visit his website, steve4texas.com. A little bit more on just illegal immigration. Some of the statewide guys, they're talking about ending in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. Your opponent has talked about that as well. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I'm not supportive of anybody having tuition that's not a legalized citizen.
So no in-state tuition?
That's correct.
Okay. And sanctuary cities, where do you stand on that issue?
Again, I'm concerned that I don't want to create any type of gray area for people to come in and break the rules. I'm very rigid on this position. I think that the rules need to be enforced. People need to comply or they need to go back.
Do you think those are going to be issues that are going to be brought up? Obviously, they were ignored in this past legislative session. A lot of folks kind of upset about that. In the previous session, they were brought up. It was a big deal. You think those will be major issues going into the next legislative session?
I hope they are. I think so. I think those are discussions that we need to have.
Proposition 6. Where did you come down on Prop 6?
I support Prop 6. It's a good point. It's a issue in the campaign where Mr. Perry and I disagree on some of it. We both agree on Prop 6. We think water's vital for the area. Mm-hmm. I'm very supportive of the way Proposition 6 is funded. Okay. I think the Rainy Day Fund is an appropriate. I think it's a good business decision to use the Rainy Day Fund for Prop 6. Our economy is very healthy here today in Texas, and that fund will replenish itself. And we have communities. I mean, we see it. They have boil notices. and they need water. They need help with their water systems, and they don't have the tax base to invest in those systems. And, you know, without water, those communities really struggle to survive. So I'm supportive of what Prop 6 did. I'm glad Texans supported it and supported the way that it was funded.
Are you concerned? I guess some of the concern that came about with this, the funding of it, was who's going to look over the funding? Who's going to be responsible for these different projects? And I guess the overall responsibility, you know, who's that going to fall down on? Are you concerned with that at all?
Well, the Texas Water Plan is delegated to, I mean, water authority lies with the regional water districts. Mm-hmm. And that allows communities to have some local decision-making and local control. So, yes, I'm supportive of that.
Visiting with Steve Massengill here in studio. When it comes to the control of water, this is something that, I, from what I have heard, it concerns a lot of folks, especially out here in West Texas. You know, mm-hmm. who is going to control the water? Who should have rights to the water? And then this is something that, again, going into this next legislative session, future legislative sessions, going to be a huge, huge topic. Who should have control over water?
Well, landowners should control, obviously, the groundwater, and there's been legislation to that effect. I was visiting with a producer called me yesterday, and he's like, I want to talk to you about water. And, you know, there's been all these different methods of regulating water, and one method is mandatory metering. Mm-hmm. I think there's better solutions than mandatory metering on control of that water, but there's so many issues from a producer standpoint, and I assume that's where the basis of your question is, you know, are we going to grow one crop? Are we going to double crop? Are we going to have a dairy farm, over, you know, adjacent to a, cotton farm? And is that dairy farm, do they have the ability to draw the water out at a greater rate or greater volume than the cotton farmer does? So, you know, I think we've got to work for, as the least amount of regulation, and I think we need to make sure that our producers have the ability to access their water at their own discretion.
Well, go ahead. Can you stay for one more segment?
Oh, yeah.
Great. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. Steve Massengill, you can visit his website, steveforTexas.com. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, Steve Massengill in studio. Running for District 83, State Representative Steve Four, the number four, Texas.com is his website. And we've been talking about how you've been traveling the district, a huge, huge area that you have to travel for this office. Many of those in the rural area, you've heard it. They're talking about what? Federal overreach. They're talking about the EPA. They're talking about those type of issues and private property rights, something we've already brought up. How do you work to protect their private property rights when you do see so much federal overreach?
Well, I think that's where you mentioned the EPA, you mentioned federal overreach, and then you start talking about eminent domain. I mean, I think the state has to stand up and protect private property rights. I mean, I think it's above all, beyond all else, our wealth is held in the land, and especially out here in West Texas, being a agricultural community, whether it's cattle or farming, and I think the oil and gas industry falls into that bucket too. I think the state of Texas has to stand up and stop any type of private property violation from the federal government. And I think we are the stopgap for any type of crazy EPA overreach. Like, you know, I had gotten a conversation, believe it or not, about the lesser prairie chicken, or right. that stuff is crazy. We need to make sure that we've got low regulation and allow free market practices and principles to work.
There are some who have talked about, you brought up the rainy day fund earlier with Proposition 6. There are some who have brought up that maybe we're storing a little bit too much money into the rainy day fund. Do you believe that is the case, and that, you know, maybe there should be some sort of bill passed, you know, some legislation out there that says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep the rainy day fund at maybe a certain percentage, whatever that percentage may be, and that'll be debated. Maybe you have an idea of what that should be. keep a certain percentage of the rainy day fund towards the budget. Then after that, say, taxpayers, you know what? Congratulations, you're going to get some money back.
That's an interesting question, Chad. You know, that is an emergency fund, and you look at that just like you would your own emergency fund. I think there are healthy levels in which you manage that fund, and there are floors in which you stop, and then you say, we don't have the funds to spend on this situation. I don't think every project is worthy of the rainy day fund. On public ed, for example, I don't know that the rainy day fund is a solution, because I think you have to focus on how effective can you be with one-time investments and not recurrent investments. I think that's why we try to give water a shot in the arm, and we know how important water is to the state. We're going to get to vote on transportation the same way in November. It's dropping the bucket on transportation. I mean, we don't solve the problem there. We have a lot more work to do. So I think there's a healthy level. You know, I think you let the experts determine on what that level is. I don't think you spend it down. I think at the same time you analyze that, if you were to recontribute back, I think you still have to preserve the protection of that being there for whatever that emergency, whether it be water or transportation, is. To make sure that you have access to it.
Visiting with Steve Massengill, you brought up transportation. That is going to be a huge issue going into this session. Have you looked at transportation, what some of the needs are going to be for the state, and how to pay for that? The funding is going to be huge going into this next session.
Transportation roads in Texas have not been able to keep up with the growth of our economy, specifically in this area, oil and gas. I mean, these guys run on these back roads as heavy equipment. I had a long meeting with elected officials in Scurry County, and they need help. They're waiting on this Clientele oil boom. We need to invest in wider, stronger roads for these guys. I think we also need to go back and refocus on there's all this play with money in the state government, whether it's federal gas tax or whatever, that leaves but doesn't come back in the same proportion. I could speak to that on public ed at the same time. I think categorized collection needs to come back and be spent on the light project, if that makes sense. I mean, those we don't need to be bringing that money into the general fund and dispersing it to other pet projects. We need to focus on, because we have a lot of work to do in Texas. Mm-hmm. We're really at a pivotal time. We've got to invest in some infrastructure in Texas to continue to take advantage of our robust economy.
Something that is also going to come up, whether it be this session or the following session, is energy in the state of Texas. Number one, did you support the deregulation of the energy market? Many of those who were supported that said competition, great thing. We kind of lack competition here in Lubbock. Many people unhappy with that. I'm sure you've heard from folks who are unhappy about the lack of competition here in this town. Did you support deregulation? Is competition a good thing in the energy market?
A competition is always a good thing. I mean, I'm first and foremost, I would always support free market practices. And, you know, we had some competition here, and I know you're talking about electric dereg. I don't think we've seen the direct benefits of electric dereg out here, but we don't, you know, always say we're kind of on an island out here. And I don't know where, you know, east of I-35 or if they're experiencing it as well, but I have to believe that free market influence is the best influence.
I know that you are going to education. We only have a few minutes left here. I know you're against school vouchers.
I am.
Your opponent is as well. He's brought up before the fact that, well, maybe we can propose an idea where students can transfer from one district to another. LISD, they've spent money before on commercials telling parents, hey, either leave your kid here or attracting kids into the district, touting the benefits of Lubbock ISD. Would you support the idea of allowing kids from one district to transfer into another district, something that we see here but we don't really see in Dallas-Fort Worth and the Houston area?
Right. I mean, here we already have free choice here in West Texas. So I don't know why we need to propose that.
Well, you see it for the rest of the state.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the capacity of the school district. I mean, it's not a decision of someone or elected official to make. I mean, it depends on what if they've got the capacity to take on those students. I mean, our neighboring school districts are limited on capacity right now. And so, you know, I am supportive. I see the free choice work. The money follows the child. But to make a carte blanche decision that all those districts could do that would be assuming too much. I mean, though, you have to understand the inner workings of a school district to understand how those transfers work. And I'm not so sure that all neighboring school districts in the entire state of Texas have that capability.
Well, if the district was able to allow set number of kids in order to come in, you know, should they be able to? We talked about deregulation, competition being good. Wouldn't that maybe increase competition between the school districts?
I think competition is good. Again, I don't know that I could support legislating that. I think those are best made local decisions with local school boards. So we see it work out here. We have good working relationships as it goes with those districts that surround us here at LISD. So again, I don't know that I could support legislation to that effect, but I would certainly like to make sure the school districts have the flexibility of local control on that.
Visiting with Steve Massengill, steve4texas.com is his website. Something else that has been brought up, the AJ has covered it. Just about everyone has covered it. One of the main differences between you and your opponent, the sales tax increase for Lubbock. Tell us why you're in support of that.
Well, what I'm in support of, and it's been mischaracterized, I'm not about raising taxes. And that's some people understand it that way because of my opponent's supporters and the way they've attacked me. But what I'm in support of, again, is local control and local decisions. The proposal was to carry legislation to allow the citizens of Lubbock to decide on their own. And I still believe that's the best way to operate local government. And so that's what I'm supporting, is the right for those citizens to vote, no different than we vote on school issues, no different than we voted on the school bond in 2010. I think it's the same process, and I think it's the best way to handle it.
Is that something you plan on carrying into your first legislative session? Is that a priority for you?
The right to vote?
Well,
always.
The sales tax increase.
Well, again, all I would carry would be the right to vote. I mean, you have to carry legislation to allow the community to vote. There was a scientific poll.
Is that something that you would do?
I would support the legislation to allow the citizens to vote on what they want to do and whether they not want to invest in their community.
Have you spoken with any other lawmakers in Texas that maybe would get behind that idea?
I have not had that conversation. You know, most of the models based on Oklahoma City, it's been very successful there, and their reputation on that and how they've used that is precedes them, because that's pay as you go. It's a very conservative method of paying for some things. And we had a meeting just a couple of days ago. They're proposing that if they had some of those monies, they would use it for a workforce training center, I think, which is something that would be very important and needed for our community.
Steve Massengill, appreciate your time. Steve4texas.com, Republican candidate in District 83.